What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast for April 1st, 2025. My name is Nick Pollock. I hope you enjoyed the April Fool's edition of the SP Roundup. I know that was very confusing for some. It's what we do every year. Justin Paradis, our graphic designer, does the writing material and I do the graphic. And then I put out one later. I will say we were late with the graphic today. We had an emergency moment with a designer. It's okay. It's out now. It would have been out around like 3 a.m. and that would have limited a little bit of the confusion. There's no way I wouldn't do an SP Roundup, guys. Come on. But I had to go with Hicks Are Forbids because, oh my gosh, Jordan Hicks was something else. Jordan Hicks is just so good. And watching this game, seeing him spot sinkers inside and outside at 98 miles per hour, sometimes at 100, was incredible. It was exactly what we saw from the spring where Jordan Hicks all of a sudden jumped up to 97 plus in his final two spring outings after like 93, 94 beforehand. He was completely off my radar. And what's so important is for people to not just stick with their guns and have a take lock, because sometimes you see new information and that new information, it just changes everything. Sometimes guys don't change and I'm trying to figure out what I'm missing. But with Hicks, it's like, yeah, you are really good if you do that. Not to mention, there was only one game last year that Jordan Hicks had a sweeper strike rate above 70%. And it was in relief, not once when he was starting. But this game, what do you know, 77% strikes on a sweeper in a very much right-handed heavy Astros lineup. You love to see it. Now, when he faces more lefties, is a splitter going to show up as much? Are we going to see that kind of sustainability, not just on the velocity, but on that sweeper earning strikes? Likely not. But man, this was so good. I implore everybody, if you can, to just watch Jordan Hicks in this and just realize that he's not making any mistakes with his sinker down the middle. It's just easy. He's just throwing the sinker backdoor for a strikeout or going inside with it. Then the sweeper comes in and gets him off the front foot. Like, it was really nice and just a breeze for him. And yeah, you should pick him up everywhere you can. Brady Singer also is another case of, like, I've been saying for ages, since 2021 when he came up, he's the same guy. Sinkers and sliders. Sinkers, he spots pretty well. Sliders, he spots pretty well. And pretty much what you see on a given night is he's a CSW darling with 10 called strikes on his sinker and 10 whiffs on his slider. It's just what he does. But now it's different. He's in Cincinnati, and all of a sudden, he's throwing four-seamers with these sinkers. But Nick, it's a really bad four-seamer. It is. It's not a good one independently. But what Singer does really well, and I got to give him so much credit for this, is that he throws both over the plate, and he doesn't throw strikes with his four-seamer. He throws actually like a 50 to 55% strikes on it, but that's cool. Why? Because he's trying to nibble with it and surprise guys. The sinker will always be there for a called strike pitch. He still utilizes both sides of the plate with that sinker. He will get strikes with it, but the problem has been when guys are just sitting on the sinker and they're able to make contact on that, and then all of a sudden things are bad. You know, against lefties, it's harder because it's a lot easier to hit that sinker, and then it's just, oh man, sinker slider doesn't really work against them. But now the four-seamer is in the mix, making it harder for guys to make contact with that sinker because it could be the four-seamer. And Aaron Judge has a quote saying, the hardest thing for him to do is to hit against guys with two different fastballs inside the zone for strikes. And it makes all the sense. You just don't know which one's going to be. It's how Ben Lively had his success last year. So to see Brady Singer embrace this, after last year he tried it for a second and it didn't work and he even abandoned it, I think this is actually somewhat real. And it was 7 innings, 0 runs, 1 hit, 2 walks, 8 strikeouts with 15 whiffs, a co-share of the Gallows Bowl, and that was only with 5 whiffs on the slider. I kind of dig this, guys. I'm just saying. You have Herman Marquez actually having a good game, as, by the way, 3 of the 4 Rocky starters have gotten 0 earned runs so far on the road, but still. And Ryan Felton, they're allowed 2, and that's it for starters, which is absolutely bonkers. You have Herman Marquez against the Phillies. I'm just not going to go with this at all. And I just want to also mention, I just saw here that Adam Ottavino signed with the Yankees, and that's awesome. If you don't know, Adam Ottavino was on my high school team. He was a senior when I was a freshman, and that we are Brooklyn boys both, and to see him likely end his career in pinstripes is what he always wanted to do. So that is just so cool. All right, Chris Bubich against the Brewers. Yeah, this is everything we wanted here, right? 6 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, 8 strikeouts. Also had a co-share of that Gallows pull of 15 whiffs, 35% CSW. If you are watching us on playback, as you should, every single game is on playback.tv/pitcherless. It's so fun just to like have a normal evening. And then I've got 5 minutes. I just go to playback.tv/pitcherless. And I know the game is on with random people from the community. Justin Mason will just appear. Dan, the newsman, was on there last night. We had people from the chat jumping in as they're fans of the Tigers and the Mariners, and they're giving their 2 cents on their teams. Sarah Sanchez hosted a game with the Cubs. We had that amazing event last week with Lance Berzowski there, and Eno Saris and Jason Collette was there last night too, watching the Rays. Like, stop watching baseball alone. Just go in. And so we watched Bubich live. Of course we did. We watched everybody live. And this was a really fun four-seamer that had 18 inches of vert with a flat attack angle, 1.4. You love to see that. His velocity wasn't like 93 plus, but it was like 92 to 93, which I'll totally take. The question really moving forward with Bubich, though, is the changeup and the slider, really the pair of sliders that he has. They weren't so good in this one. The changeup could be lower. He did get better as the start went on. While against left-handers, I didn't really love what I saw from Bubich. So I think what we've seen in the past of Bubich is kind of like in and out of having good command, having poor command, and it's not quite quelled yet. However, as he gets back into this rhythm of being a starter, I do hope that he will get there. And that fastball was really just carving them up. So I would be holding on to Bubich where I can. There are a lot of guys right now in this realm of like Bubich and Leiter and Job and Fitz and Hicks and Max Meyer and others and Grant Holmes you could put in there too if you want. Of just, hey, these guys are really good. Who should I actually be holding on to? Dustin May, Drew Rasmussen. And I'd say just whoever you have, just hold on to. Just right now, if you feel like all these are available, then just play the matchups and keep streaming, fine. But for the most part, just hold what you have and don't yo-yo. That is, don't chase the previous start and then you realize you don't actually get a start. You just keep swapping. Don't do that. Martin Perez went not just shutout innings, no hit innings against the Twins, but he was at 93 pitches and 3 walks. There was no way he was going to complete this. And it was 9 strikeouts as well. Like, what? No, don't buy it. I mean, it was really nice to see the command. He does get the Tigers next. You could stream that. He is someone who has gotten into this rhythm before. He had a really good start with the Pirates last year. And it's possible. I'm not going to throw that away. Like, the changeup was good. The cutter was great. The sinker was off the plate away. Like, he nailed it down and away to right-handers. And yeah, it could very much work for another 5+ starts. He got a win too. Hey, look at that. The White Sox got a win. Oh my gosh. Drew Rasmussen, as I mentioned before, I have a lot to say about Drew Rasmussen. And I'm going to tell you all about it after this break. I have a question from Matt Pat before we continue. Where would I put Hicks after last night? I probably would put him near Chris Bubich and company. There is a risk, of course, that Hicks does fall down as the rest of the year goes on. We saw it last year too. So I'm not as confident to say like Nathan Eovaldi, for example, that it's going to be consistent value. But right, he's right inside of that with Bubich and with Max Meyer at the moment. But Drew Rasmussen is in a league of his own. He really is just propelling up the list. And I had him around 45 because we hadn't seen any data. We hadn't seen him pitch the entire spring. And we finally get it. And what do we get? It's 5 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 0 walks, and 4 Ks. This is the old Rasmussen, but better. And he's not stretched out. He's at 90 pitches. But my gosh, this was just filth. The Pirates could not handle him. He threw 50% cutters. It's so good. It's a 91 mile per hour cutter with a lot of movement. He's not making a ton of mistakes with it. He pounds the zone. He has 95, 96 mile per hour sinkers. He has a four seamer, 97. He has a sweeper that mixes in well and makes guys look stupid. Like, this looks like a 2.8 ERA, 105 whip kind of guy. Is it going to be a 25% K rate? Maybe not. Maybe he's just going to earn all these outs and that's fine. Gosh, do I want Rasmussen everywhere? He's not going to be at 70 pitches the entire time. They're slow rolling him, okay. But he's the kind of guy with his efficiency that, yeah, he can go 5 innings in 70 pitches like he did here. I'm just so stoked for this. I know it was the Pirates, but like, watch this and you'll know how legit he was. Tyler Glasnow, ace is going to ace. You don't need me. At least he got to win this time. That's really cool. He got to get King Cole at 38% CSW because, of course, he does. Christopher Sanchez looked great. The 96, 97 mile per hour velocity is there. The 7-plus feet of extension is there. It's awesome. 7Ks against Rocky Road, sure. But 93 pitches to not get out of the six is kind of weird, but fine. No cutter. And for Christopher Sanchez really to take off, honestly, it's just, hey, what's your hit per nine? If it's still nine, then you're going to have the bad whip. It's possible he can get to like 7, 7.5, which would mean that his sinker isn't finding the middle of the zone as much. It's more around the edges, but that might raise the walk rate a little bit. But I think the path for like a 110 whip for Christopher Sanchez is just focusing a little bit more on getting that sinker out of the middle of the zone to right-handers. I think it's literally just that. He throws harder now that I think you'll get more strikes off of the plate with it. And I think everything else is just great. So hopefully Christopher Sanchez can do that. Four hits here, I'll take that. That's not one hit per inning. If you see one hit per inning constantly from Sanchez, it's like, ah, that's not it. Whenever it's underneath, we should be happy. Cool. Bowden Francis got the win against the Nationals. And look, I've been saying, oh, I don't want to go after Bowden Francis, but look, six innings, two earned runs, two hits, three walks, four Ks. That's great. 44% CSW curve, but it was just 50% strikes. And it's just like a first pitch lollipop kind of thing. Fine. I don't like the splitter. I don't think it's very good. The heater is, I'm going to say that it's like it's Bubich's from the other side almost, but it's not because it's not as flat. It still weirds me out so much. And I can't. I'm so sorry. I know everyone wants to yell at me saying, haha, he's amazing. I mean, look, you got a 3 ERA with a 0.83 whip in 4Ks. Sure. I mean, that is not like, oh my gosh, he's demonstrably amazing and winning your leagues. While I'm saying, okay, this is the reward, the risk to me is just not productive. And why go for Francis? We can get guys that I think actually have bigger ceilings to hit. That's all I'm saying. If you want to go with it, go right ahead. you have David Peterson going 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, 9 Ks. I would have rather have had that. In fact, I did have that because this was against the Marlins. And that's cool. You have the win from Peterson. Great. You don't have to hold on to this so tightly. You don't have to go after it against the Jays. I guess it's Francis against Peterson. That's actually kind of funny next, if that's the case. It's a good extension pitch, four-seamer and everything. Obviously, good extension, but it's not like 95 or so. The slider and changeup are better here. David Peterson could be just a good Toby with hints of being a Holly when the slider actually gets these whiffs like it did yesterday. That's cool. Congrats to Lance Lynn for retiring. It's been a fun run. I hope now he can live a happy life. But just in case you missed that, yes, he announced his retirement on his wife's podcast. You have Miles Michaelis, 5.1 innings of 2 earned runs. Hey, you know what? I'm just going to stop you there. Awesome. I'm happy for you. And that's great, Michaelis. Let's not do this. Kyle Hart pitched 5 innings of 2 earned runs, 5 hits, 1 walk in 4Ks. 10 whiffs, 6 or 20 on the slow ball, which is a changeup, which is nice, mostly against right-handers, and that's good. You want to see a crafty lefty have a good changeup for right-handers. Now, is the slider going to be able to really sneak in for strikes? Sorry, the sweeper for called strikes as much? Maybe not. The four-seamer and sinker at 90, 91 is really tepid to me, obviously. I'm not the biggest fan of Hart. I see him as a streaming option. Maybe he becomes a 12-team Toby for like a Vargas rule or something. That's really what I was hoping for before we saw him in the spring, and he didn't look good at all. But with this changeup, maybe this actually is something real. I hope we see it again next time so I can get more confident. Ben Brown, 5 innings, 3 earned runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, 5 Ks. Dusty Donut. He doesn't have a, that means like, you know, it's good and bad, you know. You don't enjoy, you'll take the win, but like doesn't taste as good as you want it to. He doesn't have the proper third pitch. That's just Ben Brown. Like he just doesn't have that. And I want to give a shout out to Jimbo Slice 75 for becoming a subscriber to our playback. That's pretty cool. Thank you so much for helping us keep the lights on, man. Ben Brown isn't made to go 6 strong consistently because it's a really good curve and a four seamer doesn't get whiffs and I think is not that great. And that's it. So there you go. Jackson Jobe. Jackson Jobe. I'm just annoyed because, yes, I'm going to lower him on the list. I'm just going to tell you that right now. I had him higher on the list and I wanted to lower him yesterday, but he hadn't started yet. And He's someone who's still working things out. He's pretty similar to Jack Leiter at this state. I think I have a little bit more faith in Jackson Jobe for not walking the farm. Typically, it was four walks here, though, but it was his first ever start in the majors. Like, we'll give him some slack for that. But as he was up as a reliever last year. But really with Jobe, it's one of those cases where his fastball is a little too hittable. And he hasn't figured out like how to utilize the curve and the cutter correctly. Like there were also some really nice changeups in there, and there were some great at bats. Like that first inning looked really good, but yeah, it's a process, and I don't see someone who's just, you know, fully harnessing his arsenal, and might be one of those peas guys. Poor execution, awesome stuff. So that means that I'm not going to have him above like Eovaldi and Springs, for example. Like those guys are just going to be more stable production than Jackson Jobe. I don't think we're going to see that absurd, you know, 27% strikeout rate with great ratios ceiling for a bit. So I would pull back a little bit on Jackson Jobe. Grant Holmes didn't do well, but that was because, you know, he went against the Dodgers, and you should just continue rostering Grant Holmes. Like, don't worry. Like, we knew this going into it. We didn't want to start him for this. I have him in two leagues, and I didn't start him for this. This is just a part of the process. You just skip one start for Holmes. You'll be happy after. Don't worry about it. Ronald Blanco survived against the Giants, and that's happy. That's good. And like, I'm just going to treat him like a Toby. He gets the Twins next. He has a good win chance. I think the slider's still really good, and that's all cool. Tyler Anderson didn't have his changeup coming down against the Cardinals, and that's kind of why it wasn't as good. But yeah, Tyler Anderson's cool. I mean, he's just like a 15-team Toby, and that's fine. And I'm sure that changeup will come down in time. Cade Bubich had 8 strikeouts, but everything else was bad. 4.1 innings of 3 earned runs, 5 hits, 2 walks. I'm happy he had that to salvage, but that's not really the case for Cade Bubich. He is not a 25% to 30% strikeout guy. And the changeup that we were kind of getting excited about and curious about, yeah, 3 over 9 whiffs here. So not the kind of pitch that we want to see either. Not 3 out of 9 whiffs, strikes. Like 33% strike rate on that changeup. So the curve is looking all right. It did get hit, but it also had a 45% CSW. It got some whiffs. But like the fastballs aren't very good. Cade Bubich, you're hoping to be a Toby, is really what you're trying to be. And I don't want to sign up for that one. Michael Soroka left the game with a trainer, but good news. Him rubbing his elbow. Yeah, that was just a bicep cramp. Oh, thank you so much. But yeah, I'm not going with it anyway. he was going high heaters with dancing with the disco as sliders over the plate, but it's just not enough. Like, it needs one more thing. It's a worse Brady Singer. It's kind of what I see with Michael Soroka. I actually, like, think of them mentally now as the same, which is wrong. Sean Newcomb, it's a wonderful story. Pitching for hometown Boston. He's not very good. 4 innings of 4 runs, 8 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks. Don't go for this. Elvin Rodriguez actually has some intrigue in his fastball, but yeah, he cannot command this stuff. So, wasn't a good game against the Royals. You don't want to go for that. Luis L. Ortiz had 7 earned runs in 4.2 innings, and do not go with Luis L. Ortiz. We did see actually a McKenzie show up for relief, and yeah, it's like 94-95 with 21 inches of vert, but I don't know. The Guardians want to go with Luis L. Ortiz, so fine. We don't. Carmen Maldinsky, I should say. I'm so sorry. He throws hard, 96-97 with a flat attack angle, but he can't locate it upstairs. And there's nothing else. It's like bad sliders over the plate. It's too bad there. Like, you can see it at times, like, oh, ah. And then this is why he's a major leaguer. And then it's just, no, okay. When he actually does overwhelm with the four-seamer, then we can talk, but not now. Maldinsky. Yes, Maldzinski, just in case you don't know what that pronunciation is. Joey Estes, 4 innings and 6 earned runs, and I cannot believe they go with him over Spence. Spence is just better. He's just so much better. He came in looking good out of the pen. Like, don't do Joey Estes. Do Mitch Spence, please. Cal Quantrill against the Mets. 4 innings of 6 earned runs. Yeah, no. Emerson Hancock, I just feel bad for him. 0.2 innings of 6 earned runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 0 strikeouts. He was thrown into the fire here in Seattle. Wasn't ready for this to be the SP5 out of the gate. Supposed to be good by like May or June when something happened. Nope. Kirby's hurt. We need you now. He's not ready. And that's that. Chris Paddock had an atrocity of a game. 3.1 innings of 9 earned runs. He actually was looking good against lefties, but the slider just wasn't very good against right-handers. The four-seamer wasn't fooling guys. He doesn't throw the split change really against right-handers either. You just don't do it. I don't think that Chris Paddock is this bad, but you can't start him against Houston really at this point. If you have Paddock for this, maybe the two-star week, I'm so sorry. I'm not going after Paddock
And for that Houston start, we need to see him actually dominate in some way and be like, okay, fine, we'll do this. And last but not least, you have Kumar Rocker, who a lot of people were really in on. And I remember early on in the preseason, I was like, oh man, Kumar Rocker looked really good. Maybe he gets a spot and he's actually killing it. But I did not like what I saw from the spring. And at Cincinnati, I was not drafting him. I didn't want to add him for this. I also thought he might be the first one out. Not lighter once Patrick Corbin arrives. I'm sorry, Jack Zippo would stay and Kumar Rocker would go when Corbin arrives. And yeah, 3 innings of 6 earned runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 3 Ks. He did have sliders. It wasn't curves as we've seen in the spring. It was sliders against right-handers with 8 for 32 whiffs and 41% CSW, but it still got hit. And against lefties, the four-seamer command and everything really command against lefties is still really bad. I think that Kumar Rocker is actually meant to be the closer. That's just, you know, I think it really should be John Gray, but they're not doing that. So then just make Kumar Rocker the closer, Teodo the closer. I don't know. Just keep Jack Zippo in the rotation and either work with Rocker in the minors or put him in the pen. One of the two. But this is not something you want to do for your fantasy teams. All right, that is it for today. Thank you all so much for supporting what we do. Remember, you can get 15% off PL Pro by using promo code PODCAST. So consider doing that today. Become a PL Pro member to get access to so many great apps that we have to make you better for your fantasy teams than anyone else in your league. Jump on it now, but that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.